Hello everyone.
Hello, hello.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Tally.
And we are
the Lazy Book Lovers.
This is a podcast for book lovers who procrastinate about reading and have never-ending to-be-read piles. Today we're going to add to your ones, and hopefully not ours, but probably. So we are doing upcoming books that will be released. So this is traditionally published books. There's no indies in this list, as far as I know. So this is publishing house publishing published books.
When's our next...
For this quarter.
Our next indies one will be, I don't know, we had one recently, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yes, so there's probably going to be a couple weeks until they'll get another one.
Okay, so usually these lists tend to skew quite fantasy heavy, because that's what me and Tony tend to read.
Yeah.
But I will admit...
Have you gone outside of genre?
Do you know what? I'm feeling some thrillers for summer.
Okay.
So I've got a lot of thrillers here, I'm not going to lie.
Do thrillers have a summer vibe to you? I don't...
Maybe.
Are you scared of summer? Maybe you just hate summer.
I hate summer so much. Yeah, thrillers do give me summer vibes. I think because they're quite often... No offence to thriller lovers, but... Why would I say no offence to thriller lovers? For me, they're quite often head empty.
Right, okay.
So I don't know, they just give me...
How are they head empty? Because they're like, they're thrillers. They're meant to freak you out.
Well, find me one that does and then we'll talk. I'm forever trying to find what I like in thrillers and I'm,
Yeah, your specific requirements.
Yeah, I mean, when I first started reading again properly, it was to read thrillers and then I burnt myself out and since then I'm like, about a lot of them. Okay, so...
All right, shoot.
First one on my list comes out or has come out on the 18th of June. So technically this should have been our last trad one, but whatever. And this is The Midnight Feast by Lisa Foley. So I've read a few Lisa Foley's. I quite like them. I like her paint by numbers approach in her plots. You know, it does.
Kind of like the Ali Hazelwood of thrillers.
Yeah, yeah. So if you like one... of hers, you're gonna like them all because they're all pretty much the same. I'm assuming this one follows tact. So she tends to write there's a murder, it happens it happens like during a party or during a wedding or whatever, and you follow loads of different characters.
Yeah, okay,
love it. So
very Marple-y.
Yeah, and then at the end there's usually a like reveal.
Reveal.
So this follows the opening night of a manor, which is a luxury resort.
Of course.
There's a...
Honestly, thrillers, suspicious of rich people.
Always rich people. But it says, under the burning midsummer sun... Oh, so that's why it's a good summer one.
Ooh.
Darkness stirs. Old friends and enemies circulate among the guests. And then someone dies. And yeah, the girl boss, the husband, the kitchen help, the mystery guest. Everyone's got a secret. Everyone's got an agenda. But not everyone will survive the midnight feast.
Dun, dun,
I love
dun.
It. It's going to be a great audio, I know.
Yeah.
That's it. Done. Oh, yeah, I know it.
Yeah. Especially if they have like, is it multiple POV? It probably doesn't say, does it?
Yeah, her books are always multiple POV.
Oh, yeah. Then maybe multiple narrators.
Yeah. Oof. So The Hunting Party is one of hers, which I really enjoyed. And
I remember that one.
What's that other one? One by one.
You're on my thing where you
Yeah, I already like moved on.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
The Hunting Party, The Guest List, The Invitation.
Right, yeah, I remember these.
Okay. The Paris Apartment is the next one I want to read. That was her most recent book in like 2022, and I've still not read it. But anyway, this, is what it is. Right, next.
Don't ask questions.
Just, I want to read it. Do with that information what you will.
Eventually.
Okay, so our first fantasy. So this came out on the 2nd of July and it's called The Night Ends with Fire by KX Song. And this is a fantasy set in. Oh, it doesn't say here. I think it's like a ancient Chinese world. If my memory serves, okay? I do have a shit memory.
Caveat.
As the very future of the Three Kingdoms hangs in the balance, Mei Lin will need to decide who to trust. Prince Skye, her commander, who inspires her respect and love. The Sea Dragon Spirit, which has the power to grant her an impossible magic. Or an infuriating enemy prince who makes her question everything she once knew about her kingdom, her loyalty, and her own heart. Oh my god, so there's a war and she disguises herself as a boy to take her father's place.
Mulan. Yeah.
And then it ends with raised to obey, destined to rebel. And as far as I can see, this is a standalone, which is rare.
Mulan ran so she could walk.
Yeah. Did you know, so you probably are aware, but like Disney have loads of straight to video like sequels to these films. Yeah. So my son watches them all and he watched Mulan 2 and it was like the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
I think,
well, no exaggeration, but it was terrible.
Little Mermaid 2 is meant to be pretty tragic.
Yeah.
Only one I will stand by, which is controversial opinion sometimes. Lion King 2.
Is that, what's that called? Simba's Pride, is it?
No, maybe.
Yeah, my son's watched that though. He likes that.
I love Lion King 2. Lion King 2 is just, I had Kiana and Kovu. I'm not saying the names right. Kovu is definitely the boy. Can't remember the girl's name. Kiana. Kiana and Kovu, teddies that roared. I loved Lion King 2. And every now and then a TikTok will come up where it's like, if you know, you know. And it's like the song they sing when they kick Kovu out. Deception.
Oh.
Disgrace.
There's a...
Sorry, I'm totally derailed.
There's a TV show called The Lion Guard. And it's,
yeah, I know.
It's based around
Rude.
Them. And I, and my son loves that. He watches that so much. They've all got tattoos, like they're branded, and I'm like, that feels a bit odd.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the new one that's coming out that's like Scar's redemption arc.
Stop it. Just write a new story.
Yeah.
Right, Masquerade. Anyway,
sorry, I derailed that so much.
Masquerade by O.O. Sanguyomi. And this is a historical, I think it's fantasy leaning. And it's so hot in here.
It's so hot in this room.
It is a reimagined pre-colonial West African setting.
Right.
It's a lyrical tale of a woman's fight for freedom and self-discovery in a patriarchal society.
Interesting.
So it's loosely based on the myth of Persephone.
Why is so many Persephone retellings?
So I think I've got a couple on this list, you know.
Why are we not done with this? I wonder what's about the Persephone story that people gravitate towards.
I think they just have the hots for Hades. Wait, not Hades. Yeah, Hades is with Persephone,
Oh, maybe we can blame Disney for that too.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to say, but we all watched that at a formative time, I'm sure.
Sorry, we're doing that millennial Disney thing. Go for it.
So next time, I don't have much more to say about that. That's all I needed to hear, and that's all I cared about for that book.
Yeah.
It's a feminist reimagining. It's colonial West Africa. I didn't need any more. Yeah. So that's
we've
what
got
you're
lots
getting.
Of juicy deets there.
Yeah. So next, I don't know if I said
one. We're going insane with the heat.
Do you know what? Yeah. I'm not rushing to get the fan on or anything. That came out on the 2nd of July, so it's actually out. Well, it'll be out by the time you listen to this. And it's out for us as well.
Dun, dun, dun.
So that was no point in me saying that. Right. So,
sorry.
This is a book, obviously. Oh my God.
Guys, you know what we've got for you on our book podcast?
A motherfucking book.
We've got a book. Just bringing you all the surprises. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
This is by Peng Shepherd, and I've not read anything by Peng Shepherd, but I have both of their previous books on my TBR because I want to read them. So I should fucking read them. So the older books are The Book of M and The Cartographers. I want to read them. Why haven't I? I don't know, but I'm adding a new one onto my list as well.
I feel like I remember you talking about them as well.
The Cartographers, that was an anticipated release of mine like 2 years ago. So this came out on the 9th of July, and it's a dystopian thriller, which... So this is a about a woman who wins a chance to rewrite every mistake she's ever made again and again until she gets a happily ever after. But what is the price of a perfect life? So she's just turned 45. Her life is in shambles. Her career is stagnant. Her marriage is imploded. Her teenage daughter grows more distant by the day. She's convinced she's missed her chance at everything. Romance, professional fulfillment and adventure, and is desperate for a do-over. And then she's selected to star in a global sensation show called All This and More that uses quantum technology to allow contestants to change and revise their past. So, yeah. It sounds a bit like that one that neither of us were overly impressed by. The Midnight Library, is that what it was called?
Yeah.
But it sounds more better.
More better. A technical term. I know some people absolutely love The Midnight Library.
I think I can see how it works really well for people. I think it depends on the type, the spice of depression you have.
Yeah.
For some people, that's going to be like, oh, life's good. For other people, it's going to be like, fucking hell.
All I did was change my mindset. Oh.
And other people are going to be like, yeah, I remember when the doctor told me, you don't need antidepressants, just walk in the sun.
Just have a cup of tea in a bath.
You live in Malta, you can't be depressed, all right.
What do you have to be depressed about? Your life is so much better than mine was at your age. Shut up.
Next on my list, I'm not speeding through these, it's just I don't really want to just read the big description because...
Yeah.
No.
Sometimes they're just a bit too long.
And
I used to appreciate the amount of detail, and now I'm going the other way where I'm like, this is, we've overcorrected.
I usually just like tend to read the bold bit now, and then just, I'm like, that's enough.
You know, we had this while where it was just like quotes from people about what the book, like how the, like, famous people being like, oh, blah, blah. And that was the description.
Yeah.
We had that for a while. We've now overcorrected the other way.
Where every horror was just Stephen King being like, this kept me up at night. Really? Really?
You really read it? Did your assistant read it? Let's be honest.
You're writing 100 books a day and you're also reading these books? Come on now.
Yeah.
Okay, so next on my list that came out on the 16th of July is the new Silvia Marino Garcia book. And I love her. I
still need to read some of her books.
Now, if you haven't delved into the Silvia Marino Garcia universe... She writes in...
Make it sound like a cult.
She writes in every genre. So just because you've read one doesn't guarantee you will like the other books.
Does she use different pen names for the different genres? Or
no,
just one?
It's just yeah.
I like that.
But if you like her style of writing, it shouldn't matter the genre. Yeah. Like, you should enjoy it. So this is a historical... I think it's like literary fiction... And this follows a woman who gets cast in the role of being a legendary heroine in a film, but there's a lot of behind-the-scenes drama as well.
Okay.
So it's 1950s Hollywood.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's
good,
like...
Good time to be a woman in a horror book, a film.
Yeah. So, yeah, she is trying to make it big. There's a couple of other actresses that are also trying to make it big. It just sounds quite fun. It sounds like it's going to be emotional. Yeah, the cover looks fabulous. Like all Silvia Marino Garcia's cover. Read it.
I was going to say very 1950s, but that's obvious because we said it was set in
that's
the 1950s.
That's good then, isn't it? Yeah. And it matches the vibe.
Yeah, good.
The vibe!
The vibe! Drink every time we say vibe.
Right. No. We'll kill people.
Drink just water.
Water.
Drink water.
Have you had any water yet today?
Play a water drinking game while you listen.
Here's a horror. Comes out on the 16th of July.
You have no concept of what day it is.
No,
do you?
I'm trying to look. What it's is it 18th. Now? Oh, it's already out. Oh, lovely. Oh, wait, I did know it was already out. I Was a Teenage Slasher, and this is by Stephen Graham Jones, who, if you've been around a while, you know I am a huge Stephen Graham Jones fan. So I will literally read anything he writes. But he writes slashers so incredibly well, and he manages to, like, capture these eras of, like, the 80s or whatever, oh, so perfectly. And this is set in 1989. So I know it's going to be wonderful. A slasher set in 1989, I mean, sold. So it's set in a small Texan town, one of those towns where everyone knows each other's business. Yeah. Like, it's big thing is oil and cotton, and, you know, so Tolly Driver is a good kid with more potential than application. And, there's a serial killer. That's it. That's all we need to know, really. So it's very much like... So for those who don't know, Stephen Graham Jones is indigenous. I cannot remember. I think he's the Blackfoot tribe off the top of my head. And this is very much... He grew up in Texas, and this is very much based on, like, his experiences growing up in a small town, isolation, etc., etc. And I do find when a lot of his books channel indigenous storytelling into it, which I think is why they are so good at horror. And I find the ones when he actively tries to bring an element of his childhood into it, they work so well.
Yeah, it just gives it an extra bit of depth or something.
For a complete, you know, blanket statement, but indigenous people's stories are amazing. Like, they are true storytellers, and the way it gets passed down and
there's a culture of storytelling that's just different to how ours is.
Check out the book I just read, Becoming a Matriarch by Helen Knoll. Fabulous.
We had a depressing time. I listened to our reading update last week. We talk about that and more.
Okay, so this next one I think is going to be one very much for you, if none of the others have been. This one's going to tickle you, I think. Tickle your fancy. So this is the first in a series. It's called Time of Iron, the series.
Of course it's in a series.
And the book's called Long Live Evil by Sarah Rees Brennan. This comes out on the 25th of July. Her fictional crush is the villain. He's about to meet his match. Ray is a bookworm who prefers fictional men over real-life boyfriends, but her life takes a strange turn when she is trapped by magic inside her favourite fantasy series.
Oh, fucking hell. Someone went and wrote it, basically. This has been bandied about the internet for a while. Like, what would you do if you woke up in your favourite story or, like, whatever?
So, this is an epic fantasy debut. So, debut as well. And it has a cast of aristocrats, knights in armour, magic-wielding warriors, sarcastic servants, and one particularly murderous, if annoyingly handsome, bodyguard.
Oh, no. I'm fucked.
Done.
Yeah.
That one was specially for you.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I've got to read
that. Well, I'm done now, huh?
Yeah, I've got to have to fucking buy that. I don't have any money till payday. This comes out before my payday. What am I supposed
Maybe
to do?
Maybe it'll be on Everhand.
Maybe. Mm. One of the platforms needs to get it. That's just fucking rude.
How dare you?
Are you so... Wait, let me derail us for a second.
Yeah.
Did you see that TikTok trend that went around for a bit on BookTok, one of the nice ones, where it was like, what would you do if you were locked in a room with all your book boyfriends? And someone was like, help! Let me get out! And then the caption was like, I love these boys, but they should remain fictional.
Yeah. Like, I would literally be killed or something. Like
these men are not safe.
I'm not the one that's going to turn them from a life of crime. Like, come on.
Seems like a lot of effort. Yeah.
The Darkling's going to kill me.
I can't change him. I can't be asked. I can't even change myself.
No. I'm not a chosen one. I'm nothing special. I'm not the girl with, like, pink hair amongst a sea of brunettes.
So, I'm going to derail us even further just for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
So at my workplace, they're all normies. Like,
how dare they?
Well, seemingly normal.
Yeah.
Or at least they're a different kind of not normal. So anyway, I was talking about how if there was an apocalypse, I think about all the time that I wouldn't survive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it was in the context, obviously, I had that horrible chest infection. Oh. And I've just, like, it's just been hanging around this cough. And I'm like, I would just die if there was an apocalypse or a zombie thing going on. I would die of exposure. I would get a cold and die. I was talking about that. I was like, I think about it all the time. And they were like, really? Oh. I was like, yeah, constantly.
Yeah, but it's like when you were 6 years old and you looked out the coach window.
Thinking about how do I really exist? Apparently these are thoughts not everyone has.
I always think, like, sometimes I look at my kids and I'm like, for fuck's sake, because if something like that happens, I'm going to have to give a shit to keep you alive.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was just me,
I would just
I could just board up the door, read some books until someone breaks in and kills me. But now I'm going to have to try. I'm going to have to try and keep you kids alive. Because I love
and
you.
And I'm going to have to stay alive.
Because I love you so much.
But I was like, did none of you guys think about this? And they were like, no. I was like, why?
My partner.
But how you never thought what you would do in a zombie apocalypse? Like, not even when you're watching a zombie film.
No, just in
general.
And
you've not thought to yourself, what would I do in a zombie apocalypse? No, no.
Like, so you haven't walked into the kitchen and thought, I should really have, like, tins for when the apocalypse happens. Are you telling me that?
Are you telling me? Like, do you just live without anxiety? Is this what you do? This is what you, this is how you live?
So,
like, what? Why has nothing happened to you?
My partner really struggles with these questions because he's very, like, realist and he can't really deal with my questions. And, like, he doesn't like it when it's, like, he's trying to go to sleep and I'm like, would you still love me if I had tentacles or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And
very reasonable.
I was like, hey, so out of the parents in Bluey, which one would you date? And he's like,
and did he not want to play
the dogs?
Game?
And I was like, yeah, I know, no, but the question is, which one would you date? And he's like, none, because they're dogs. And I'm like, okay, imagine if you were a dog, which one would you date? And he's like, what kind of breed am I? And I'm like, you're ruining the game. I will give you my top five.
You know, it just reminds, you know, the TikTok sound. I just want you to stop saying, oh, shit.
I'm like, I will just give you my top five, okay? And he's like, okay, then.
So, I mean, and I can't.
It's like, have you thought about this? And I'm like, constantly.
I like, because people in my work don't think like that. And I'm like, I'd struggle to make conversation sometimes because that Bluey conversation would have made my fucking day if someone said that in the office.
Well, you've been like,
I've been like, I am here for this.
Yeah. And why is it Lucky's dad? Because it should be Lucky's dad. Oh, Bandit's all right. Oh, Rad. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I derailed that totally. We were just doing too well for time. I've now ruined the time. Carry on.
Also, he does not understand when I'm like, Robin Hood as a fox was like a sexual awakening, and he doesn't understand that. And I'm like, why?
I say that.
Why don't you understand that?
Right, my friend makes fun of me all the time, the friend that we know that we met through, because I said, Kovu, Lion King 2, we're going back to Lion King 2, Kovu, with a bit where he's like, we'll make a pride all our own. And it's like, you like, smash.
You were like, I'll pride you.
It's not like that. The ones like, whose first crush was Teenage Simba?
It's like that sound that was it like the Peppa Pig characters or whatever? And she was like, smash. And she's like, what? And she's like, are we not playing that?
So I can't have these are the people I need to talk to, the people that think like this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's always like, you can't ask me if I have a crush on an animated character, and I'm like, why the fuck not?
Just in a hypothetical world where you were also this animated character, would you smash? It's not a hard question.
No. If you were around in the same world as Robin Hood as a fox, would you bang?
You were also a fox.
I don't know why this is so hard to answer.
I'm like, so Lola, being unreasonable.
Lola Bunny is hot, right? And he's like, it's a rabbit. No, Lola Bunny is hot.
I mean, rhetorical question, mate. I don't fancy women, and even I can agree that Lola Bunny is hot.
Yeah. Don't fancy women, but you fancy rabbits. Come on.
Oh, my God.
So, dancing.
Well, we haven't been this unfocused in ages. This is fun.
We're too hot. I'm really enjoying it. Please come to Instagram and tell us your animated fictional crush so we know we're not weird. Dance of the Starlit Sea by Kiana Crystal. So this comes out on the 6th of August. Look at the cover, for starters.
Oh, that's very...
sold.
I can't find the words for that.
It looks like a manga.
Yay! Yeah, that's it, thank you.
Like with light and dark. Like, yeah. And this is a YA romantasy. So disgraced ballet dancer Leela Rose Lee is sent away by her parents to Luna Island, where every 7 years a girl is sacrificed as a bride to the devil. To protect herself, Leela asks the guardianship of the angel who keeps appearing in her dreams. But unbeknownst to her is the devil's servant in disguise. Smash.
You know, I was just about to say that too.
It's been a while since we've been this off kilter.
Well, I'm really hungry as well, so
yeah. Girls Who Burn by MK Pagano, and this is a mystery thriller, a YA.
I like a good YA mystery thriller.
YA mystery is top tier. I'm not always about adult mystery, but YA mystery very rarely misses, in my humble opinion.
Humble.
So the summer before her senior year, Addie hurled the worst words she could think of at her sister, and hours later Fiona was found dead at the bottom of a ravine. The police ruled her death an accident, but Addie has never bought it. Her ballet prodigy sister didn't slip and fall. She was pushed. And Addie's number one suspect is Thatcher Montgomery, the rich boy down the street who always had a thing for Fiona.
Always the rich one.
So she needs to unmask a murderer.
There's a character in One of Us Is Next. It's Addie as well, isn't it?
Yeah, potentially. I was looking at yours.
They're visible now.
One of Us Is Next has got blue edges.
Yeah.
Did not know. I've got the red-edged One of Us line. I didn't know they did a blue edge to One of Us Next. I'll have to try and find it.
Yeah, I bought another one in the series. It's somewhere.
With orange?
I don't know where it is. So I bought it impulsively in Tesco's, because of course. And at the time, they weren't visible, because I've sold a few more books on Vinted since then.
Yeah.
And I shoved it somewhere else.
And you don't know where it is.
And I don't know where I've put it. I haven't tried that hard to look, I won't lie to you. But it's somewhere.
Interesting. Society of Lies comes out on the 13th of August, and it's by Lauren Ling Brown. And this is about, it's a thriller, and it's about a young woman who is found dead on her college campus, and her sister doesn't believe it was an accident. Her search for answers leads her closer to home than she ever would have imagined in this thrilling debut novel by an exciting new talent.
Why are we writing so many books where it's like a woman trying to prove about another woman's...
Possibly because the reflection of real life is police ain't shit.
Yeah. Just like... my political opinion right now with the trans debate in the UK media, they're like, it's about protecting women and girls, and I'm like,
you're not really trying very hard though,
because
are you?
Because murder of women and girls is up.
Femicide is like rampant.
Convictions are the lowest they've been in 50 years or something stupid. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember. I read it somewhere. They're very low. Conviction rate is extremely low right now.
Our police have in the last 4 years. Murdered.
Yeah. So is it
flashed?
Is it really about protecting women and girls? Is it though?
I am.
Is it though?
Disgusted with our new government that's supposed to be helping.
They haven't taken any steps one way, but they've not taken any steps the other way.
I'm disgusted.
I think they're trying to walk a secretly neutral line. But if you look, who the Deputy Prime Minister is, she's literally marched in, like, trans rights march. She's openly spoken about, not in this election, but in previous years, she has openly spoken about her opinions on this. So just have a little bit of faith.
I can't.
This it's half women. And yeah. It's those people of colour. I know four of them are privately educated. This is the best chance we've had in years.
I know.
I feel secretly optimistic.
I can't just think positive thoughts because
I'm very jaded by what's happened.
Yeah. Right. Anyway. You Will Never Be Me by Jesse Q. Sutano. So this is the author that wrote the Die Away From Aunties. What was that other one I read? Vera Wong's Unsolicited.
Oh, okay. Murderers.
Yeah. So this is her upcoming book that comes out in 20th of August. So when cracks start forming in an influencer's curated life, she finds out that jealousy is just as viral as a video. It's a suspense novel. And yeah, it's about an influencer and I think there's some stalking and etc. Look, I saw the author's name and I was like, that's pretty much all I need to know, if I'm perfectly honest. Oh, we've only got three left. I have been speeding really, haven't I? Sorry.
I mean, I derailed us slightly.
If you like the sound of any of these, go do some more work yourself.
Yeah, we can't do all for you.
You'd be bored if I literally sat here and read all the blurbs. We used to do that and it's not about
We're trying
that
to
life.
Move away from it. Yeah. We're not feeling it.
And it also bored us. So
neither of us can focus for that long.
No. I would love to go back to like our earlier ones and just see the progression of our neurotypical brains burning and not being that anymore.
Unmasking is probably the way to put it.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Us both unmasking over the last few years has been a good and a bad thing because we do know how to corral ourselves better because we know how to do it through our brains now, but also we're worse.
It's good but bad. So on the 3rd of September comes out the newest book by Andrew Joseph White, and I did do a review of one of his books last week, The Spirit Bears the Flesh. It's spirit, yes, I would love that. And this is called Compound Fracture, and this follows so this is a queer, I always struggle with this word, Appalachian, is that how it, you
yeah,
know,
Appalachian, yeah,
thriller. And
well, they say Appalachia.
Yes.
When in the actual accent, it's Appalachian.
But yeah, because I don't even have that accent. That sounds silly to me if I try and say it like that. It follows a trans autistic teen who survives an attempted murder, only to be pulled into a generational struggle between the rural poor and those who exploit them.
Mm.
So, yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen any of the videos by people who are, like, from the Appalachian Mountains and they talk about, like, the rules they got raised with by their grandparents and, like, if something calls your name in the woods, no, it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
If you see something moving out the corner of your eye, no, you didn't.
Yeah, if you hear whistling, no, you didn't.
Yeah, something's chasing you, do not run. Like,
and yeah, there's so many rules.
And, like, there's so many of them that they say the same thing over and over. And I know this obviously could be, like, internet trend or what's that thing where, like, everyone believes the same, the mandala effect.
Oh, yeah.
It could be that, I don't know. But, like, I'm like, you know what, fair enough.
No, but a lot of them are, like, backed up by, like, Indigenous people's stories as well. So, I would not.
The people who go hiking there for fun.
Asking for trouble.
Yeah, I'm just like, you don't know. What's that?
Why you do that?
Yeah, why you do that?
You want to die.
Do you want to fuck around and find out?
Okay, this next one, it looks like a horror, but it's tagged as a fantasy, so I think it's like a dark fantasy.
Okay.
And it comes out on the 3rd of September. It's a YA, and it's the start of a trilogy.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So it's called the Immortal Dark Trilogy, and the first book's called Immortal Dark, and it's by Tygest Jirma, and I apologise because I probably pronounced both of them wrong. I only read this bit at the beginning, that was when I put this on my list to read. The Cruel Prince meets Ninth House in this dangerously romantic dark academia fantasy. So it follows a lost heiress who has to infiltrate an arcane society and live with the vampire She suspects of killing her family and kidnapping her sister.
Oh, God, no. I don't need to know anything else. I'm also going to buy that.
I also have a lot of similar themes going on throughout these, don't I? Yeah, but look at the cover. It is gorgeous.
Oh, I really do like that.
And I'm enjoying YA flexing its dark fingers a bit more.
And having a bit of a resurgence. We're taking it a bit more seriously at the moment.
Yeah. I think the demand for YA to be more adult really ruined YA for a bit. Mm. And I'm looking forward to it coming back and being...
We just see publishing houses to accept new adult
as
a valid genre. And then they have two different purposes then.
Yeah, exactly. Because YA should be, you know, like 17, 18, that little kind of starting then. But actually it's for like 13-year-olds. Yeah. So, you know, they need to sort out something. They even need to add one as a new adult, which seems to be the push that should be done.
Yeah.
Or they need to add like a preteen bit. But I think their best thing they can do is do a new adult.
Yeah. Because that's always already, like, it does exist as a genre. Just for some reason, publishing houses are refusing to accept it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the user base who are going, this is new adult, it's not YA, don't let your teenagers read it.
Yeah, like, when I go in the bookshop and see, like, Akatar in the YA, I'm like, ugh, no, don't. Please stop. Right, the next one, and the last one, actually.
Oh, we've done really well. List.
So this comes out on the 24th of September, and this is a YA fantasy. And it's called The 13th Child by Erin A. Craig. If you're American, I'm sure it's Aaron A. Craig. I don't know where
good
I went.
Good job.
Don't I?
Oh, no, because they have Erin.
This is the author that wrote House of Salt and Sorrow. That's on my TBR.
The Rebbe. Yeah. I've got it.
So this follows Hazel, who is a young healer, navigating a ruthless court to save the life of the king. There's also some issues with gods with questionable agendas. And she is also the goddaughter of death. Yeah.
Mm.
So she's got a few things going on.
It's a busy girl.
Mm. She's a 13th child. She was promised one of the gods. And she spends her childhood waiting for her godfather, who is Death, to come and take her away. And, yeah, it's a romanticy. It's a dark fairy tale. Again, that's all I need to know, really.
Yeah.
The cover is lush as well.
Oh, I do like the covers that are coming out at the moment.
I applied for an arc of this, but I was not successful. Well, no, I was not successful for a physical arc, but they said they'll send me a NetGalley widget,
which
would be good.
Compromise.
I'm trying to read more digital books, so... Mm. That is my 14 books that are upcoming that I really want to read that I probably won't get to for about 9 years.
Yeah, well, eventually you'll hear it on a reading update. Can we say when?
No. I think at some point we should do an episode where we look at like our first TBR that we ever recorded and see how many of them we've read or whatever.
Oh, I think that would be interesting.
I think that'd be really shaming. Because
there's quite a few. No, they are. No, I have faith in us.
I don't know. I think a lot of them probably I no longer care about reading.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like we eventually get to a lot of them.
When did we start this? Like 3 years ago? 2 years ago?
This summer? No. We need to check when our anniversary is. We might have missed it already. Because this would have been our third. This summer is our third anniversary.
Okay, yeah, so...
No, we started publishing in August.
August.
I remember we started working on it in July.
Yeah, and we published
in August. But we're coming up to 3 years.
Okay, so...
Because we forgot our 2 years.
Would we have read them in 3 years? That should be... Maybe we can
really
can we fit that in for like
out.
An anniversary one? We'll have a look at the
we
schedule.
We need to look at the planner.
Anyway, are you interested in any of those books?
Yes.
Let me know. Please like, download, subscribe, leave a review, do whatever you can wherever you listen to your podcast. It would really help us get boosted in the algorithm to find new listeners. Please also, if you want to chat more, we're hoping to build a community over on our Facebook group, which is Lazy Book Lovers Podcast, or on our Discord. All links will be in our description. We'd love to have you over there to chat more about books and to basically hear from you as well, because this is just us
talking
at you.
It's been a one-sided conversation and we want it to be two-sided.
Yeah, and if you enjoyed this, we do indie upcoming releases as well. So if you are an indie author or if you're excited about an upcoming release, please go to our website and you can submit it there for us to read on the next
episode.
And we
also do these traditionally published ones once a quarter now as well.
Yeah. So we try and do each of them once a quarter.
And indies is probably sometimes more frequent if we find enough.
Yeah, and
or we get submitted
enough. If we get submitted some ones, yeah.
But definitely try to publish this once more.
So, bang. We will speak to you next week. Bye, guys!
Bye! Hello,
let's
everyone!
Go.
What the fuck are you doing? We'll keep that as an outtake.
Let's go!
We clap and that can be done at the end.